If you will, turn to your Bibles in Acts chapter 8. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now, this may be a very familiar part of the scriptures that most of you guys are already familiar with. And as you turn there, I'd like you to think about the question, have you ever been asked to do something that you just didn't feel qualified to do? Have you ever been asked to do something that you just didn't feel qualified to do? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you for Dr. Ennis and Fellowship Baptist Church for allowing our family to come and share a little bit about the ministry for Singapore and Southeast Asia. We ask you tonight to challenge us to be used in a mighty way through you, Lord, and help us to see that through a fellow named Philip. And also pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now let me just give you the backstory here about what's leading up to this part of Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 2, we see that the apostles are getting up and they're preaching the Word of God. And as they preach the Word of God, we see that 3,000 people come to know the Lord and become part of the church. And then we see in Acts chapter 2 that every day after that, God adds to the church more and more people. By the time we get to Acts chapter 3 and 4, we see that maybe 5,000 more men joined the church. They heard what the apostles were doing, they listened to what they were saying, and they believed on Jesus Christ, and they joined the church. So now, by the time you get to Acts chapter 6 and 5, you have at least 8,000 people in the church, a little bit more than that. We're not sure exactly how much more. We know at least 8,000, the 5,000 men plus the 3,000 that joined previously. But by the time you get to Acts chapter 6, there's a bit of a, what do you call it, grumbling among the church. And so they go to the apostles and they ask the apostles to help them out, resolve this problem. Now here's the apostles' answer. Well, we're busy doing what God wants us to do, but we'll help you out. We'll actually help you out by just telling you, choose 7 men out of your group. And we'll even help you out by telling you what the qualifications ought to be. Now the qualifications to me are very common sense. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and be full of integrity. That was simple enough, so the people decided, well, we know there's Stephen. Stephen was the first one they chose. The second one they chose was Philip. And then they chose 5 other men. Now we see in Acts chapter 7 that Philip is going to the temple. He doesn't agree with what's going on, so he speaks up and he stands up for the Lord. And because he does that, he gets stoned to death. So at the beginning of Acts chapter 8, what we see is a great persecution against the Christians led by Paul, led by Saul, who later on becomes Paul. And we see that the Christians start scattering out. And they leave Jerusalem, and some of them go to Judea, some of them go to the outermost parts of the world, but Philip purposely goes to Samaria. And we see that in the beginning of Acts chapter 8, the reason he goes to Samaria is to preach the Word of God. And the Samaritan, an unreached people group, a people group that nobody wanted to go to because they were considered half-culture people. They were considered idol worshipers. And they didn't want any part of these people. But Philip, a food distribution manager, whose only 2 qualifications he had was full of the Holy Spirit and full of integrity, purposely went to Samaria to preach the Word of God. And because he did so, they started believing in the Word of God. And word got back to the apostles. And when word got back to the apostles, they sent 2 representatives over to Samaria to see what was going on. And when those 2 representatives come to Samaria, they see an amazing sight. And they laid their hands on the Samaritans and they prayed, and the Holy Spirit entered. And we would think, this is a great ministry for Philip. And we would think, well, why would the Lord, in verse 26 now, says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." Now we would see this and we would think, well, Philip had a great ministry in Samaria. Why would the Lord call him out of that to a desert road? Well, the reason why God would call him out of that to a desert road was because back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus was telling the apostle, and it applies to us today, that all power is given unto us. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This was a ministry that was to take part at the same time in your local ministry, and then outside the local ministry, and then to unreached people group and to the outermost parts of the world. You see, we can be used in a mighty way in the hands of God if, one, we see the opportunities. Now, here was Philip, a food distribution manager. He had a great ministry going on in Samaria. And God saw him as a willing person. He was willing to go to Samaria. And now he was willing to go to a desert road. Now, we don't see him arguing with the Lord. We could have saw him. He could have easily had come up with a good case against the Lord and said, look, Lord, there's at least two apostles on their way back to Jerusalem. They are more qualified than I can to preach the gospel to this person. They are more qualified to witness and bring the gospel to this person. And they're on their way back to Jerusalem. They're going to get there before I do. Because we see in verse 25 that as these two apostles go back to Jerusalem, they're stopping in the villages of Samaria, and they're preaching to every one of these villages the word of God. So obviously there was at least two apostles that were qualified. We also know that Philip could have said to the Lord, well, there's already devout men still in Jerusalem. Why couldn't they do this? They're closer. They're right there in Jerusalem. They can get there quicker than I could. And he's right. At the beginning of chapter 8, we see that some devout men stayed to make sure that Stephen got a proper burial. Any one of them could have been qualified to do it. Probably one of the strongest arguments that Philip could have had was, what about the apostles that are still in Jerusalem? They are more qualified than I am. Oftentimes we do that. We think of ourselves today and we think, well, why couldn't the pastor do that? Why couldn't the pastor visit that person? He's more qualified than I am. He'll know exactly what to say. Or maybe we'll say, well, why couldn't the deacons do that? That's why we voted them in as deacons, so they can help the pastor. They're more qualified than I am. Or maybe we'll say, well, why can't my Sunday school teacher do that? They know the Word of God better than I do. But God has given each one of us an opportunity. Because God said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we are given power, and then the Holy Spirit enters, and we are to preach the Word of God throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world at the same time. Each one of us are qualified to do what Philip did, to do what the pastor does, or the missionary, or the deacon, or the Sunday school teacher, if we would just see the opportunity that God has given us. You see, Philip could have argued all this. And if we would put it today in our modern day world, it would probably look more like it going to a doctor's office. And I don't know about you, if you have gone to a doctor's office recently, I stopped going to the doctor's office because I learned a trick. I just know I'm unhealthy and I just don't go. But have you ever been to a doctor's office? What's the first thing they'll tell you to do? They'll tell you to come up early. Show up early, 30 minutes early. And then they'll tell you to bring your identifications, your insurance card, all your information at one time. And so you do, you set up your appointment, then you show up 30 minutes early. And the first thing they do is they tell you to go have a seat in the waiting room. So as soon as you get comfortable in that rubber chair, they realize they call you back up to the desk and say, I need you to fill out this paperwork, these forms, and then they make you go sit down again. And then they call you back up so they can make sure you got everything, make your photocopy, your driver's license, your insurance card, and they make you sit down again. And then eventually they'll call you around the corner. And you all know what that means. They got that big old scale from 1960-something, and they make you stand on it, and it still moves that little thing over. You know? It's like a Chinese water torture, except there's no Chinese and there's no water. It's just torture. And they tell you how much you weigh. Other people write it down discreetly, but they tell you, wow, you're a little overweight there, aren't you? And then the worst part is you finally do see the doctor, and he tells you everything that's wrong with you. He prescribes you all the medicine you need or thinks you need. And then as you go out and you've got all these handful of prescriptions, he tells you the inevitable thing. Make another appointment with the nurse. So you can do the whole process again. And you do it with a smile. I stop. Because I know I'm unhealthy. So my wife told me to stop using this illustration because our older son is starting to believe it. If you're unhealthy, you just don't go to the doctor anymore. You might as well die happy because you receive Christ as your Savior. So just go ahead and die with a bucket of Bojangles or KFC next to your bed. And a lot of you are agreeing with me because a lot of you are thinking, that makes sense now. You know what Philip would have done? Philip would have sat in that doctor's waiting room. And he would have noticed that somebody else is sitting there too. And instead of looking at his watch or the clock and complaining about his time is so valuable, he would have noticed that the person next to him picked up a tract. Maybe it was from Fellowship Baptist Church, an invitation tract. What Philip would have done was kindly went over to the person and said, "Do you understand that what you just picked up, what you just looked at, what you just read, it's going to change your life for eternity?" How many more opportunities are we going to let go by? Perhaps it was the opportunity at the gas station where you were pumping gas and somebody was next to you. And if you're like me, you look everywhere else but the person. Or maybe it was the opportunity at the restaurant that you had lunch at this afternoon and the server came. And even if you didn't catch her name or his name, you didn't pray for them. How many more opportunities will we let go by? There are 5.5 million opportunities in Singapore alone. By the time we get there, it'll be close to 6 million people. There are more opportunities outside of Singapore, Southeast Asia. But not only does God give us opportunity, if we are to be used in a mighty way of God, God also gives us His Word. Look in verse 29. It says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Now what I notice here also is that Philip didn't argue with this eunuch. He didn't say, "Do you understand what you just read?" and then boast about what he knew about the scriptures. What Philip did was he listened to the eunuch. And he said, "Well, tell me what you read. Tell me what you understand." And then as the eunuch reads the scroll of Isaiah, and he tells him, "Well, I don't understand. Here's my questions. Is this person talking about himself or talking about somebody else?" And then what Philip does is he just responds by telling him about Jesus Christ. You see, oftentimes we think we need to argue with people. We think we need to convince them that they need salvation. We think we need to debate with them about what's right and what's wrong. And those are all good motives. But if you want to reach someone with the gospel of Christ, you need to listen to them. And then you need to, out of love, just share Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's just your testimony of how you got saved, how you realized that you were a sinner and you needed Christ in your life. Sometimes that's all it takes. You don't need the flowery words. You don't need to be a scholar of theology. You're equipped with the Holy Spirit. I heard of a story, of a record of a man in Singapore. He went to Australia for university. At the time, he was young and an atheist. He didn't believe in anything. He goes to Australia for university, and there he runs into a group of Christians. And they decided they wanted to win him over to the Lord. So they started giving him the gospel. He got so fed up with it that he decided, "I'm going to read your Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, just so I can see everything that's wrong with it, so I can argue with you." At the conclusion of reading the Bible, he got saved. Amen. There are many more stories like that. True stories. God's Word is so powerful. that somebody can go to a hotel and find a Gideon's Bible today, start reading it, and get saved. God's word is so powerful that it goes beyond any language barrier. I share with you in our testimony that my father received Christ as a Savior at a Thai refugee Bible camp. I'm not sure if that American missionary understood the Thai language or the Vietnamese language. I'm not sure if he had a translator. But I do know that my father said he heard Christ being preached and he accepted Christ as a Savior. Words of God is powerful. It is so powerful that all we have to do is just share it. And people will believe. Not only does God give us opportunity and God gives us his word, but in order to be used in a mighty way of the Lord, God will also grant us joy. Look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now here's a great ending to this record. We're not sure how long Philip had with the eunuch. We're not sure how long he talked to the eunuch. But it was enough that the eunuch received Christ as his Savior, and the eunuch wanted to be baptized. And the eunuch asked him, "What stops me from being baptized? Here's a body of water." I'm not sure if that body of water was clean, if that body of water was muddy or fresh water, but he desperately wanted to be baptized. And he wanted to do it right. So Philip's response was, "All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And he says, "I do." And so they both get into the body of water, and you can see that Philip has his hand on the back of the eunuch's body, and he has an arm in front of the eunuch. And he takes the eunuch all the way down into the water, fully immersed, and by the time the eunuch comes back up, fully standing, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. He wasn't seen anymore. Now the roles are reversed, because you don't see the eunuch stopping the chariot driver and say, "Hey, what happened to that fellow? Where did he go? Let's send out a search party." No, what you see is that the eunuch goes back on his chariot, and they go back to Queen Candace in Ethiopia. And so that you can imagine, that Ethiopian eunuch had a story to tell that day. He couldn't wait to get back to Queen Candace. He couldn't wait to get back to Ethiopia. And I can imagine what he did was he went straight to Queen Candace because of his position. He had a very high position. He went straight to Queen Candace and said, "Guess what happened to me today? Guess what happened to me on my journey? I purposely went to Jerusalem to worship, and I came back, and somebody explained to me the Word of God. And not only that, but I accepted Christ as my Savior." And he wanted to share that with all Ethiopia. Did all Ethiopia get saved? Probably not. But the seeds were planted. The people heard. Remember that Chinese business person that came to Singapore? Possibly hearing the gospel for the very first time. Possibly accepting Christ as his Savior. Very much like the Ethiopian eunuch, he goes back to China. And he gets to tell his family, his neighbors, his co-workers, "Guess what happened to me in Singapore?" You can have a part in that through your prayers and through your giving and sending out missionaries. But the other part of the story is that Philip didn't stop ministering. We find him in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Just because we're able to get to Singapore doesn't mean that our ministry is over. Our ministry of deputation will be over. But once we get to Singapore together, our ministry begins in reaching Southeast Asia through the open door of Singapore. Will you pray tonight how God can use you in an amazing way? Ask God about the opportunities in your life that he can bring to you. Ask God to reassure you in his word. And I guarantee you, you'll experience the joy. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us. And we just ask you to continue to challenge us through your word tonight. And I always pray in Jesus' name.